الحمدللہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام علی سید الانبیاء والمرسلین سیدنا و مولانا محمد وعلى آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاة والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ الصلاة والسلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاة والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلى آلک واصحابك يا نور الله بلغ العلا بكماله كشف الدجى بجماله حسنت جميع خصاله صلوا عليه واله مرحبا اهلا وسهلا بكم to all our esteemed viewers and listeners of Madani channel to your weekly program called Remedies for the Evils of Society. As you are aware that on a Monday night we come to you with this program in which we discuss the evils of our society which are affecting people globally, and alhamdulillah we find solutions for those evils through the blessings of the Holy Quran Pak and in the light of Ahadith Mubarakah. So since we have commenced with our program, of course we praise Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our sustainer, provider, cherisher and nourisher. We send peace and blessings upon his beloved and his most exalted Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his illustrious family and noble companions, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. We are going to be discussing the excellence and importance of maintaining relationships, inshallah. What are the importance of mending and keeping relations with your family members, with your relatives? And of course, what are the distractions of breaking family ties? This program is extremely important and it is a very relevant topic to our society in current times, dear viewers. We all are, of course, associated. We have families around us all the time. They have rights. And what are those rights? How should we be in touch with them? How can we create a stronger bond between siblings, brothers and sisters, between, of course, close relatives, be it the paternal side or maternal side? Alhamdulillah, in today's program, we are going to bring up this sour and bitter evil of society, which has ruined the people out there. For we have, you know, somewhere down the line, lost this ta'alluq and rishta, should we say, this touch and being with our families for many odd reasons out there. We will discuss them, inshallah, and we will find solutions in our program. Let's begin our program, dear viewers, with, of course, the virtues and blessings of reciting Durood-e Pak. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, on the day of judgment, there will be no shade other than the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three people will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah on such a tough and difficult day. Remember, no shade except for the arsh of Allah azza wa jal on the day of judgment. Such difficult times and moments we will be going through, dear viewers. So the Sahaba Ikram then asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who are those three people, who are those three fortunate people that will be taking shade under the arsh of Allah azza wa jal, when except for that there is no other shade? The Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who removes troubles from any of my ummah. Number two, the one who revives my sunnah. And number three, the one who abundantly recites durood and sends salams, salutations upon me. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatan wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya Rasulullah, wa sallam alayka ya sayyidi ya Nabi Allah. Inshallah azza wa jal, we will be listening to a beautiful Naat-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rendered and recited by none other than a great Naat Khan of Da'awat-e-Islami, who needs no introduction, and his name is Ashfaq Madani. Ji haan, Ashfaq Madani, and their kalam that we'll be reciting will be Kaabe pe padi jab pehli nazar. What was the kaifiyat? What was the environment or the feeling when his eyes had fallen upon the Kaaba for the first time? Kaabe pe jab padi pehli nazar. I'm sure you have those thoughts behind your mind, those memories that you have behind your mind, that when you went to Makkatul Mukarrama, and for the first time when you had the vision and the glance of the Holy Kaaba, what was your kaifiyat? Keep that behind your mind, inshallah, and enjoy this beautiful kalam. After we are back, yes, we are going to be discussing the excellence of maintaining relationships, inshallah. Stay tuned and locked with Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahu ya Rahman, ya
مفلوج ہوئے دل ذوق تماشا بھول گیا کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر کیا چیز ہے دنیا بھول گیا جب پہلی نظر پہنچا جو حرم کی چوکھٹ پر ایک ابر کرم نے گھیر لیا پہنچا جو حرم کی چوکھٹ پر ایک ابر کرم نے گھیر لیا باقی نہ رہا پھر ہوش مجھے کیا مانگا کیا کیا بھول گیا باقی نہ رہا پھر ہوش مجھے کیا مانگا کیا کیا بھول گیا کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر کیا چیز ہے دنیا بھول گیا کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر احساس کے پردے لہرائے ایمان کی حرارت تیز ہوئی احساس کے پردے لہرائے ایمان کی حرارت تیز ہوئی سجدوں کی تڑپ اللہ اللہ سر اپنا سودا بھول گیا سجدوں کی تڑپ اللہ اللہ سر اپنا سودا بھول گیا کیا چیز ہے دنیا بھول گیا کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر جس وقت دعا کو ہاتھ اٹھے یاد آنا سکا جو سوچا تھا جس وقت دعا کو ہاتھ اٹھے یاد آنا سکا جو سوچا تھا اظہار عقیدت کی دھن میں اظہار تمنا بھول گیا اظہار عقیدت کی دھن میں اظہار تمنا بھول گیا کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر کیا چیز ہے دنیا بھول گیا کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر ہر وقت برستی ہے رحمت کعبے پہ جمیل اللہ اللہ ہر وقت برستی ہے رحمت کعبے پہ جمیل اللہ اللہ خاکی ہوں میں کتنا بھول گیا آسی ہوں میں کتنا بھول گیا خاکی ہوں میں کتنا بھول گیا آسی ہوں میں کتنا بھول گیا جب پہلی نظر کیا چیز ہے دنیا بھول گیا کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر اللہ
Subhanallah, subhanallah. This was our respected Sana Khani Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Ashfaq Madani sallamahu al-bari who was reciting this amazing and beautiful Naati Rasool sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his melodious voice. Kaabe pe jab padi pehli nazar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And I was just thinking of my kaifiyat and my own thoughts and feelings when I presented myself in Makkatul Mukarramah for the first time, when you see the Kaaba, the beautiful doors of the Kaabatullah and Mizab-e Rahmat, Allahu Akbar, the ghilaf of the Holy Kaaba, just the sight of the Kaaba would make you wonder and take you into deep thoughts. Many a times people plan that when I see the Kaaba, I'm going to ask for this and ask for that. But honestly speaking, when you see the Holy Kaaba, you sometimes don't know what to ask for. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us to the beautiful city of Makkah al-Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwara. One poet has recited and said so beautifully, he says,
Kaabe ke dar ke saamne Maangi hai ye dua faqat Kaabe ke dar ke saamne مانگی ہے یہ دعا فقط کعبے کے در کے سامنے مانگی ہے یہ دعا فقط کہ ہاتھوں میں حشر تک رہے دامن مصطفیٰ فقط ہاتھوں میں حشر تک رہے دامن مصطفیٰ فقط اللہ اکبر
Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, they were two real sisters that made a promise that they will have their children married to each another. One sister's son will marry the daughter of the other sister. And it has been mentioned that one day, due to some discord, some petty issue and reason, which wasn't actually valid, the sister who had the son said to the other sister that your daughter has weak eyesight and she's blind. And I wouldn't want my son, who is perfect, to ever marry a girl that has defected eyes. She has some sort of infection and I'm calling off this marriage. Listen attentively, dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, because this is related to our society. And it was a very minor and a very petty issue for which she cancelled and called off the marriage, that my son is perfect and a perfect son cannot marry a girl that has so many faults in her, and especially she's blind. So my faultless son cannot marry a faulty girl like your daughter. Having said this, of course, this caused a huge shock to the mother. This massive shock brought her to tears, that you are my own sister. Tumhi to ek behno meri, and you are saying this to me. This is your child as well. In one way, she says, no, my son is faultless and trust me, I'm not going to give him in marriage to your daughter. Having said this, she grabbed her son's hand and she walked out of that home. When she reached home, there were some pipes outside her home, and she told her son that, son, I'm going to carry this with you. Let's go and leave this on the rooftop. She was angry. She was frustrated. As she carried those iron pipes and rods, as she was climbing up the stairs, a rod slides and goes straight to the head of her son, which caused his eyes to pop out of the sockets with his eyelids. Instantly, he lost his eyesight. And then she remembered the words which she just told her sister a few moments ago. My sister, my son is faultless. He is not blind like your daughter who uses glasses. My son is faultless and he's handsome. And this was too late for her to then repent and take back her words after she has hurt her own sister. The saying goes that what goes around comes around. Whatever you sow is what you will reap, dear viewers. And this is of Madani Channel. This is so much into our society in this day and age, that nowadays in our society, kingship has become very, very delicate and sensitive, like a fragile thread. People, you know, without any basis, without any valid reason, would call off marriages with their own relatives. It is because of money, it is because of status, it is because of wealth, it is because of color, it is because of greed, it is because of inheritance. Allahu Akbar. Before marriage, everything is so, you know, so rosy, it is so fine. And just when the nikah is about to happen, minor issues become major problems that then tears both the families apart. People take oath and vows not to ever go back there in that home. And I'm never going to meet my chacha's children, my uncle's children, paternal side, maternal side. It is a huge problem in society. I'm not speaking about South Africa. This problem could be affecting people globally. And we have forgotten the rights of people. That what are the rights and how should one maintain those rights? Let's learn it from the Holy Quran Pak, inshallah. What our Rabb Azza wa Jalla had said in the Holy Quran Pak. Therefore, give the relative his right, and to the needy, and to the traveler. This is better for those who seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only they have achieved their goal. Now, understand this in the light of the glorious Quran Pak, that the Quran has classified and has identified this successful human being who has achieved his goal. What is the goal that you have achieved? If only you have maintained the relationship, if you have mended that relation, that rishta, that ta'alluq, that connection. Therefore, give the relative his right. If you have not deprived the relative of his right. What is the right of a relative? That you maintain relations with him. Do not break relations with that person. If you have done that, plus you have fed the needy, and you have seen to the travelers, musafirs, then the Quran says, you have achieved your goal in life. Subhanallah. Our goal is money, status. Our goal is to have a dream home. Our goal is always related to the world and not planning of the akhirah, planning the hereafter. Everyone wants to have a comfortable life in this world. How many of us are looking forward of making our hereafter comfortable? Everyone is in search for sustenance and rosy, whereas Allah has taken this upon His own daste kudrat, upon His own rahmat and mercy, when He says, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is no one that walks on the surface of this earth whose rosy, whose sustenance is not dependent upon my mercy. Listen, dear viewers, Almighty Allah has taken this upon His own, upon Himself, upon His own mercy, meaning your income, your earning, what you eat, what you are going to eat, everything is dependent upon the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. He has promises in the Quran that there is no one that walks on this earth whose rosy doesn't come from Allah. So that which Allah has taken upon Himself is that which you and I, we all stress for. We chase that. We fight for that. We fight for buildings, for properties. We kill, we hurt people. We snatch their rights. And what not wrong happens on this earth? There's bloodshed, dear viewers. And for that which Allah has not taken upon His responsibility, that is to say, what is the outcome of your actions? That's depending upon your actions. That depends on how you perform in this world. That's only dependent upon yourself. That's supposed to be yours and mine, our responsibility. And that is what we're supposed to be focusing on. But the focus is rather on that which Allah has taken upon Himself. You're supposed to work and do your job, and the rest of it is upon the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He will see to you. So this is the actual truth and reality, dear viewers. Coming back to the topic, inshallah, what we are discussing from this verse, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, therefore give the relative his right. Now every one of us should identify the relative that we have in our families, your nani's side, your mother's side family, your father's side family. I'm speaking about your uncles and your aunts from your paternal side and maternal side. You have siblings, you have cousins. Now this is a huge field, right? We are going to break it down, inshallah, to understand what the Quran is saying, what the ahadith is saying, what has been mentioned in the tafaseer and in the commentaries of the glorious Quran-i Pak. So Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Baqarah then says again, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَذِي الْقُرُبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. And be good to your parents. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And be kind and be good with your parents and to the relatives and orphans and the needy. This is another verse where you and I have been commanded to be kind, to be just, to be good and humble with your parents, with your relatives, with your family members, with the needy, especially, subhanallah. So in this ayah, we have been commanded to do good with our relatives and favor them. Favor should be done to the parents as they deserve it the most. Other relatives in the family, of course, will come, but only after your parents. Number two, the ulama say, zil qurba are the people who are your relatives through your parents. They are also called the rahim. Now, what is the rahim? The ulama ikram have said that father's relatives, such as paternal grandfather, grandmother, and aunt and uncle, they are under this category of dhil qurba, the closest of relations. Then comes your mother's side. In the mother's side comes the relatives such as your maternal grandfather and grandmother, and then your uncle and aunt from the mother's side and the father's side. Then the ulama ikram have explained that there are two different categories when it comes to relatives. Now remember, mahram, those in the family with whom one can never ever marry due to blood relations, right? That is to say, forever you can never make nikah with them. They are haram upon you. They have a different status and different maqam and closer connection in comparison to your cousins with whom perhaps you can marry. And this is how the ulama ikram have explained this beautiful point, subhanallah, with relation to the mahram. So there are some mahram amongst the in-laws and milk relatives, such as mother-in-law and wet nurse, and some are non-mahram. All of them have rights in Islam. Even neighbors have rights in Islam. But these people are not included in this ayat which Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in the glorious Quran Pak. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to understand that how should we identify those relatives in our families. You know, from my father's side, his brother and his sisters, your puppy and your chacha, to say in Urdu, right? And then you have your mother's side, which is your mother's sisters and your mother's brothers. And then you have your cousins, to say, there are some of them, of course, who would be your wet nurse, who maybe have been your foster mother, who have fed you her milk, for example. They are relations and they all have haq and hukuk. It is up to us whether we are ready to pay them those rights, to be kind and just with them. There are some people out there who would say, but I'm trying, main salam karna cha raha hu, main salam karta bhi hu, mulaqat karne ki koshish bhi karta hu, lekin unki taraf se koi jawab nahi aata. I'm trying, you know, tirelessly to maintain this rishta and relationship, but from the other side there's no response, you know, cold shoulder, and there's no sign of reconciliation. So must I still go ahead and do this? The answer to this question would be yes, yes, yes. Why should you stop this? What reason is there for you to stop this sila rahmi, you know, good and kind connection? For many reasons, they may not want to be close to you, but you do what's in your capacity. You do what you're supposed to do, because Allah Azza wa Jal is going to reward you for this good action of yours. So be in mind, treating relatives well does not mean that when they treat you good, then you treat them good. If they invited you for the wedding ceremony, my son's nikah is there next week, subhanallah, you are invited, then you have to invite them because they invited you. This is how we think. And if you never get invitation, I'm not going to invite them as well, because they never invited us. Why must I go off my way? Last week they went for a get together. What a beautiful time they had together. The whole family was there and I was invited. I was uninvited. And now when I have my family program, they're not going to come anymore. Because tit for tat, we always want to give answers to people. And this is how we treat others that have treated us with, you know, with evil. Perhaps that's to you as evil. So if somebody never treated you well, doesn't mean that you're going to treat that person like the same way as well. If somebody is throwing stones at you, it doesn't mean that you should start throwing rocks at them. And this is the evil of society, and this is the trap of shaitan. As shaitan has trapped many people in the luxuries of this world, in the comfort of this dunya, that we have forgotten our akhirah. For the same reason, people are chasing this world. It is for this dunya there's bloodshed. It is for the status of this world that we have broken off relations with our family members. You know, so we have come to establish relations, as the poet has says, that we have come in this world to establish relations. We have come to make relations. We never come to separate people in this world. We never come to break family ties. Rather, we have come to mend people. Once there was a person who came and gave Sayyidina Baba Fariduddin Ganja Shakar Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. He was a great peer of his time, subhanallah. And his name is still shining in the skies even to date, subhanallah. In Pak Patan is his beautiful shrine. And this khadim, this gunahgar, had the opportunity of visiting his Mubarak shrine in Pak Patan. Nonetheless, it has been mentioned that in his physical lifetime, there was a murid that came and blessed him. In other words, gifted him a sword and said to him, Huzur, ye talwar hai, aap qubool farmaye. So Baba Fariduddin Ganja Shakar Rahmatullahi Ta'ala accepted the sword from this murid. And he thanked him for it and he said, just wait a moment. And he went inside the house and he brought a needle. And he said to him that this is a gift from me to you as well. And this murid then said, wow, Jazakallah Huzur, thanking him. He kept the needle with him. And then he asked, Hazrat, if you don't mind, may I ask a question? That I given you a sword. And though it's all about the thought, I appreciate that you have given me a needle, but there should be some wisdom behind this gift you have given me. There is a lesson behind this needle. And I need to know, what lesson is there behind this gift that you have given me? Baba Fariduddin Rahmatullahi Ta'ala answered so beautifully and said, "See, my son, the item that you have gifted me teaches to cut and to break. And that which I have gifted you teaches you to mend. Allahu Akbar. It will teach you how to foster relations, how to make relations, and not how to break relations. I have given you a needle so that you learn and always know in life that I'm a person that's here to bring people closer and not to chase people away." Subhanallah. Dear viewers and listeners of Madini channel, subhanallah, this is such a good way to think, and one of a way that you could have, you know, good relations with your relatives is to have positive assumptions about them, not negative. Every one of us always have doubts in our minds, you know, and they are such evil assumptions, and based on the so-called assumption which there is no certainty about, we base our arguments, we fight, we quarrel, we break off those family ties, because this is how it is. We only dig for faults, and when we find faults based on assumptions which not even true, without any investigation, we accept them and we spread rumors about others. And then fights begin based on assumptions. How much of rumors out there maybe your family members think about you, which isn't true because they never investigated. And then people spread rumors about each other. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us and guide us. And may we become people that will get people closer to us. If you are not in talking terms, I'm just saying this once again, if you aren't in talking terms with your parents right now, you haven't spoken to them for weeks that have passed by, you know, find it somewhere in your heart to understand that Allah Azza wa Jal will question you regarding your parents on the day of Qiyamah. Every ruler will be subjected, will be questioned regarding his subject. Every person is answerable. Everyone is answerable, and so will you be as well. So let's, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, you know, tie our camels, pull our socks, and let's make sincere tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let's get things straight, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. So the point I make at the end is that it is a fact that many people out there who have this thought that if I was refused on a certain occasion, I'm not going to invite as well. If I wasn't called for the da'wat, for the walima, I'm not going to call them as well, because if they're not interested in remembering us, why must we be there always banging our head for them? This is what answers people give out there. I understand. Yes, it's nafsaniyat. You know, this is human nature. This is how we are. But dear viewers and listeners of Madini channel, you have a reason to maintain relations. That is your blood cousin brother. That could be your father's brother. And your father's brother has the status of your father in Islam. After your father, he is your father. There are many youngsters out there who have broken this ta'alluq and rishta, whether you are, you know, male or female, you have broken this ta'alluq with your own uncles and aunts. Though they are your mother's sisters, your mother's or your father's brothers and sisters. Either side it may be, there is a close relation, and Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to be mindful about this. Be very careful about this. You could be performing many hajj, many umrah, but there are many people out there who are weak in this sense. May Allah Azza wa Jal pardon us. Let me give you a beautiful parable that has been mentioned by Hazrat Sayyiduna Yahya Balkhi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. He says that there was a Khurasani person, a man that lives in Khurasan. He was a very, very good worshipper. Abid insan, he would worship Allah Azza wa Jal during the night. He would make tawaf of the Kaaba during the day. He was a pious person and he had no ta'alluq and connection with the dunya. Very quickly, I want to take you through this beautiful parable that has numerous lessons. Listen attentively, dear viewers. And what happens next is that one of his pious business friends entrusted him with 10,000 dinars and said, "You know what, brother, I am setting out on a trip. When I return back, I will take this money from you. Please keep it with you." So this worshipper, this Khurasani worshipper, said, "No problem." He taken the 10,000 dinars. This person goes on a trip, and when he returned back to his country, he goes to the door, to his house. He knocks on the door. The son opens the door and asks, "Yes, how can I help you?" He says, "Well, I'm looking for your dad, for your father." And then they said, "Well, our father just passed away a few days ago." And this business person was shocked and astonished. He says, "What? Your father passed away?" And now he's shocked. And then he asked that, "Okay, did my father tell you about the wealth I entrusted him with?" And they had no idea whatsoever. So he was very, very disturbed about this. he somehow or the other approached the ulama and the scholars of the time, and he asked them for advice, and they said, look, if the kids at home, the children, the wife and children are unt, they are not aware of where the wealth is, where he has kept it. So the only thing you can do is that you should go to the well of Zamzam during midnight, peep into the well of Zamzam and say these words, oh my Khurasani friend, I have entrusted you with 10,000 dinars before my departure, before leaving and setting out on this business trip. And now that you have passed away, your family aren't aware of this money and wealth I have entrusted you with. Can you please give us some sort of indication where the money is? Because you say he was a pious person and his soul perhaps could be by the well of Zamzam. Allah Azza wa Jal keeps the pious souls of the people at the well of Zamzam. And since you said he used to worship Allah Azza wa Jal day and night, he would make tawaf of the Holy Kaaba during the hot days and worship Allah during the nights. He was sleepless. He was away from this world. He was such a pious individual. Perhaps his soul will definitely be by the well of Zamzam. Nonetheless, this happened that he goes there. He peeps into the well and he does just as the ulama guided him. Dear viewers, there was no answer whatsoever. 3-4 times he tried his level best, but he could hear nothing at all. He goes back to the ulama and he says that this is what happened. I received no response whatsoever. Then saddened upon this, they said, okay, one try more. Now you need to go to Yemen. And there is a well called Barhu. Go to this well. And all the wicked and evil people's soul are there at this well. We are hoping that his soul shouldn't be there, but take a try. And if he responds to you, then you can ask him where he has kept your wealth. This businessman goes all the way to Yemen. He goes to that well that the ulama ikram have told him to identify and find out about. He reaches there after some time, and then the moment he says out his name, instantly this pious, devoted man says, yes, labbaik, I'm here. Allahu Akbar. This businessman then asked him about the wealth. I have given you 10,000 dinars. Where have you kept it? He says, please go to my home and tell my son to dig under a certain tree in the yard. Your wealth is definitely kept there. So then this businessman asked his pious friend, you know what, I really need to know something. What happened to you? You were such a pious person. Then what are you doing here at this well? And then he says, well, my ibadat, my roza, my namaz, my worship, everything have been null and void simply because I had one sister in this world, one blood sister with whom I maintained no relations. I never taken care of her. I never seen to her needs. I was not there for her in her difficult times. And after dying, when I was accountable for my deeds, everything, every good action I did was cut off and thrown back onto my face. And now I am being punished for not keeping ta'alluq and connection with my sister in this world. Allahu Akbar. In a nutshell, dear viewers, this person takes the address of this pious friend of his. He goes all the way to the home of the sister and he told his sister the entire story that your brother is being tormented for this reason. And then she instantly forgiven him. And then some time later, that Khurasani pious man comes in the dream of this businessman and says to him, because you went to my sister and you sought forgiveness on my behalf, she's forgiven me, and here Allah Azza wa Jal has pardoned and forgiven me as well. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers in the Surah Madani channel, how many of us out there have forgotten that your sister has ta'alluq with you? How many of us are stuck in this world? This is the same world that will be thrown in the hellfire in the form of an old woman. Allah Azza wa Jal will tell the angels to drag this woman into the hellfire. This woman will actually be the wealth of this world, the diamonds and the gold that we're fighting for, the luxuries and the pleasures of this world. And the world will then speak to Allah on the day of Qiyamah and say, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, why alone? Am I not going to take my followers and go with me that used to fight for me? There was bloodshed on this earth for my sake. Brothers fought with each other for me. Sisters fought with each other for me. Husband and wife fought with each other because of me. They fought for me and I must go alone in Jahannam. And then it will be said, yes, take all the followers, people that loved this world, people that chased this world, people that never want to leave this world because of being so attached to it. We are being deceived by the luxuries and by the pleasures of this dunya. May Allah pardon us. For those who have sisters, leave alone blood relations, brother. Look at the foster sister of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How unique was his actions when he would see his foster sister, he would cry. He would place his shawl on the ground for her. He would sit her down. He would ask her, "Oh, my sister, what do you need?" And she, Allahu Akbar, would cry as well. Rasulullah ﷺ gifted her camels, gifted her goats, gifted her slaves. The Holy Prophet ﷺ would see her off. He would send for her money and gifts as well. He would never ever let his sister return empty-handed. This was the foster sister, you know, to say the milk sister of Rasulullah ﷺ that had this maqam and status. Imagine what will be the level if he has blood sisters, dear viewers. What about us that we have blood sisters and brothers out there? Vice versa, sisters out there who are listening to this bayan today, to this nasiha and advice, pick up the phone, give your brother the call. Yes, he could be bigger than you, but shame the devil and shaitan, and you be the one who would speak first to him. And if you are trying, then never stop. Brothers out there who are listening to this nasiha as well, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let go of this world. It is nothing besides deception. And inshallah, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you will maintain this relation, may Allah azza wa jal grant you the shade on the day of Qiyamah, when there will be no shade except for the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, Allah azza wa jal has beautiful palaces in paradise, only prepared for those who mend relations, for those who make up ties and do not break relations. So people who cause problems and fights and arguments should take heed from this. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu once was in a gathering, and he actually made an announcement before making dua. He says, "Oh people, I want to make dua, but before I make dua, I request if there's anyone in this gathering who breaks family ties, kindly leave my gathering." There was a young man who woke up, and on the way he goes to his aunt's home and he makes up with his aunt. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, his aunt forgiven him and then said, "Beta, why did you even do this? Suddenly you rocked up here. In other words, you came here to me today and you are seeking forgiveness from me. What motivated you?" And he says to his auntie, "Asal mein Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu convinced," and he made this announcement, "I was astonished and I woke up from there because I broke relations with you, so I have to leave the majlis." She says, "Go back and ask him, why did he make this announcement?" In a nutshell, mein 30 seconds mein khatam karta hun, dear viewers. Allahu Akbar. When he goes back and he asks Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, "Why did you make this announcement?" He says, "Well, because I heard the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that in any gathering, if there's any individual who sits in a gathering who has the habit of breaking family ties, the dua of those people are not answered. Any supplication meeting made in such gatherings will not be answered if there is such a person seated in that gathering." How important it is, dear viewers, that whenever we make dua, we also see our surroundings. What type of people are in our gatherings? So when you choose a friend, when you choose a partner who has a big heart, a partner who's forgiving, who's merciful towards others, who's kind with people out there. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us pious and make us practicing Muslims. Until next week, Monday, for the very same program, stay tuned with Madani channel. Watch the upcoming events and programs as well. I leave you with the Madani Maqsad and mission of Da'awat Islami, as we do at the end of every other program. And that will serve as a reminder that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah, show me the right path, oh Allah, show me the right path, oh Allah.